This lesson is another one of those that will be placed on the internet site, the CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com site. It's on your bulletin. As you take the copy of the bulletin home, you have it right in front of you, as well as the teaching and training. If you desire to get into the teaching side, preaching side of the work of the Lord, the Training School for Better Service website is right there. And it'll teach you and show you the techniques to do better. If you speak a little fast, how to slow down. Speaks too slowly, what to do about it. Keep people's attention. And that's on the website there, to both of our websites. Our topic today, as we've talked about topics since the month of August, is a topic that will sum up the others that along the way. It's the idea of our lives. How do we grow in God? You know, the scripture talks about us growing in the ways of the Lord as teachers of God's word. And Hebrews chapter 5, in reference to this matter, when for the time has come, they ought you all to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again the oracles, the first principles of God. You're such as have need of milk and not a strong meat. The concept of growth is a concept of God. We're to grow to be teachers, all of us, as we come into the body of Christ. We find that He wants us to become teachers of His Word. Now, teachers in a small way, in the sense of our home, our family, our children growing up, our grandchildren growing up, teaching them God's will and God's way. How to talk, how to behave, how to act, how to love people who are in times of need, how to serve them in that way and that sort of thing. We need to teach as we go along. But of course, there are also formal teachers that are needed. And there are those that have gifts in that regard, as to how they can go out and they can teach others in classes and they can inform them and be informed about various topics that are in the Bible and the plans of God that are in the Bible, and it's a good thing to do. But there's a personal growth. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in reference to this matter, he says, as newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, beginning verse 1. We are to be people as we come into the Lord, that we are like little children. We're to grow by the milk of God's Word. And from the milk of God's Word, we go on to the deeper things of the meat of God's Word as well. There are all kinds of things that are deep subjects in the Scripture. In reference to our daily walk of life, forgiveness can be a basic thing and a basic idea. And the forgiveness of God can be good. Ephesians 1 verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. It's wonderful to have the forgiveness of God. And it's a blessing in our life. A deeper part of that is the nature of God that would want to forgive us. Why would He want to forgive us of the things that we know that are wrong to do, wrong to say, but we go ahead and say it and do it anyway? Why would He want to forgive us? The depth of the love of God, the depth of the grace of God, the depth of the mercy and compassion of the God of heaven. This is something that is a deeper theme, and we need to apply ourselves to that. Fortunately, we in our day and time, since the days of the late 1800s, we have the benefit of concordances that come our way. When Young put out his analytical concordance, he gave us the family name background of the original words. And we could look for the English word, and then we could see the family name of it in the Greek form or in the Hebrew form or the Chaldean form of the Old Testament of the Bible. We could actually go back to those original meanings, see the mean application. For example, our Lord Jesus in His earthly ministry taught in parables, parabole, meaning to cast along by the side. When you cast along by the side, when He said, I'll give you the parable of the seed of the sower, how that the sower went forth to sow his seed, He's casting this along by the side of the spiritual teaching that He gave and that the disciples would go later on give to others. As a result of that, they could grow in the way of the Lord. They could teach people to become babes in Christ and grow continually in that way, becoming teachers of His will in home and family as well as in a more formal setting. They could be people who serve the cause of God. What a wonderful blessing it is to have that to happen. When we find ourselves being people like that, we want the depth of it because we want to share that depth. There are going to be people just like we, in our families, for example, that are going to come to us and say, why is there a God? How did God come about? How did God and His Son come about? And we are studying with them, we're going to show them that in Hebrews 3, the Scripture tells us that every house is built by some man. But he that built all things is God. Who built the stuff that we form together and make a house? Make it strong enough to withstand 200 mile an hour winds. When my mom and dad passed away and left me the home place there at Kosciuszko, and I was going into a thing when we had woods out there, and we had 1,600 trees per acre. And they would not grow any higher. They would not grow any more girth to them because there were just too many taking up the nutrients of the soil that was there. My dad knew that, but he couldn't bring himself to do a final cut on them. He felt like perhaps in his mind that was the final act that he would be doing, and he wanted me to go ahead and do that when I got the opportunity to do it. And so I did. And we did that. I had a couple of three guys that were coming to do assessments, and you know you do that kind of thing. You don't sell wood in a time when there's nobody buying wood. But if you find that there are people who are buying wood and what they'll be buying, you could sell, and I had a good time there in which that sale could be done. When you and I have knowledge of God's Word, when we have teaching of the Lord's will, we can't just be fooled by anybody. Nobody can just come by and say, the Scripture says this, in such a passage it says that, and it not be there. We will be people who know where to look. We'll know what to look for. And when we'll look at people, and my granddad Lawrence, when he was converted, that's exactly what he did. He went to a preacher and he asked him, what do we defend? Because I hear this other gospel preacher saying that Saul of Tarsus was not saved on the road to Damascus. We always were teaching that he was saved on the road to Damascus. That he was saved by the time he fell off the horse and hit the ground. I never read about a horse there in Acts chapter 9 either. But anyway, what do we teach this man? All their preacher would say was, don't go back over there and don't study with that man anymore. But they did go back and they did study with him more. And you know, when I opened up Acts chapter 22 and verse 16 and I read there regarding his life, and I read where Ananias came to Saul of Tarsus and said, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I knew the truthfulness of my grandfather Lawrence's words. He said, you see, Paul still had his sins with him. And if he still had his sins with him, whoever teaches that a saved person still has his sins with him? You need to arise and go be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You're to be a person who wants the blood of Jesus to apply to your soul and free you from that sin. He said, for that reason, we left the church we were in and we became a part identified with Church of Christ. We wanted to be free, and he said, well, I found myself all through these years free to bring up any subject in Bible class, free to discuss any topic with any Christian brother that's there, free to look at Bible verses about what it says about the Holy Spirit or what it says about the judgment day or what it says about salvation from sin or what it says about forgiveness of others. In Matthew chapter 18, in the middle of that chapter, and also at the very end, our Lord Jesus made it plain, if you do not forgive from your heart those who sin against you, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. It's important to be people who forgive, who are willing to forgive others, and who want to forgive others. And hold upon that idea that we will be forgiven by the Lord because of it. What a blessing it is to have that in our lives. As we grow in the Lord, we grow in a knowledge of His Word, and we grow in a usefulness of that knowledge. And just like in the house situation, I wanted to know whether I could store anything there, set anything there, and it wouldn't cave in on itself. I would have somebody who was a structural engineer who would study the corners of the building, who would study the flooring, who would study the foundation, who would tell me, yes, it is, or no, it's not. He would save me much trouble and much problems in the future to tell me that. To have somebody to know what God's Word says, to be able to tell you and me what is there in that passage and what's not there in that passage. I don't see any passage that tells people to pray through for salvation. I have a lot of people on radio and television that tell me that it's there. They cite it one time and another, but I don't see not an example of it anywhere among the 9 detailed examples in the book of Acts of the Apostles. It was a wonderful time on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 for Simon Peter to have said to those people who were troubled and said, "What shall we do? You need to pray this prayer with me now. And you need to accept the Lord as your Savior. And you need to walk away from here happier than you've ever been." It was a wonderful time for him to say that to him. But he didn't say that to them. Simon Peter said, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. The scripture continues there in Acts chapter 2 to tell us. These are the people that later on the Hebrew writers say, when the time has come that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one come and teach you again. They had not continued to grow, not continued to be the people of the Lord. The brethren at Corinth had a problem and difficulty in regard to using the gifts that they had been given. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, "You do not use these gifts. You act as though you have received none of them." He raises a question. Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. God didn't give you these gifts through me. He did not give you these gifts through the Holy Spirit to you to sit upon them, not use them at all. Act as though you have not received any of these things. Now we're left to supposition as to why they didn't use any of those things. It may have been that they saw the power in those things and they didn't see any real need to use them around there, and so they just stopped using and forgot about them. Hard to believe that, but may have been the case. They may have been people who recognized that if we use these things, we're going to get well known. And we'll get well persecuted from those who don't believe it. And so they wanted to avoid the persecution. That could be a more plausible thing. Or it could be that they saw people, and they would be people who would tell their friends and neighbors when they had illnesses and sicknesses, "Come over here, we've got people that can touch you and heal you. We've got people who have that power." And they didn't want to have all that time involved with the things like that. Don't know all the ins and outs of it. But I do know this. Paul said, "Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." That's not what God intended to happen. He wanted you to have the Word of God to grow in. And he wanted you to have these gifts to utilize for him. So it is in your life and mine. We don't need to be people that say, "I'm getting too old to do this. I'm getting too worn out to do this. I'm getting too afraid to do this. I'm getting too much teaching situations to do this." We need to be people who utilize every opportunity we have to timely invite others to come and worship with us. Invite others to understand this simple New Testament system. I love the fact that when we gather on Lord's Day, or any other time that we gather together, we are gathering for the purpose of worshiping the Lord just like they did in Acts 2. Just like they did at the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11 and 14 and 16. When I find that going on in their lives, and today we sing some songs from the Psalms, just like they did. And my heart is reminded. They had a simple way of singing together, worshiping the Lord, praying together. Oh, yeah, in 1 Corinthians 11 and 14, they had a problem with people deciding that they would sing and pray in such a way that people didn't understand, and speak in such a way that they didn't understand. And they felt like they were some big somebody if they had that going on, and therefore they would not be people who helped out very much. And Paul corrected them and told them not to do that, to pray with the Spirit and the understanding also, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. There are people who preached in the word of the Lord in understanding the words that were said. And Paul said, I'd rather speak 5 words easily understood than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Don't leave these people leaving your services saying you're insane because of what you're doing. When that happened in the early church, I appreciate the fact it doesn't happen today. We can learn from that, benefit from that. It doesn't have to happen today. We can worship the Lord as did the first century people, as they sang, as they prayed, as they preached the word of the Lord, as they partook of the bread and the fruit of the vine in remembrance of what Jesus had done for them. And as they gave a proof of their love, as the contribution time came, they knew that that money was just not their own. There's a portion of this money I can donate, and it'll be used here locally and around the world. My prayers go with that contribution. The love that I have is there. And that's a blessing to be able to worship God today, just like they did, in spirit and in truth. And to be called by the Lord in John 4:23, God is a spirit, and he seeks true worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. And be called a true worshiper of God. What a blessing it is. The song is provided tonight to think about our relationship to the Lord. If there's anyone that decides today to be baptized in Christ, the water will be warm and it'll continue. We'll turn it off this morning, but it's been overnight heating up, and it'll be right here for the baptistry to be ready for anybody to be used over the next 2.5 days of time. And then it'll be put on before we get to the Wednesday time. And we'll be ready for somebody to obey the gospel at that time in some warmth rather than bitter cold. Opportunity will be there. And it's good for us to have that opportunity and to be blessed by it. If you need to be restored to your first love, you've been away from the Lord, and your personal ways of prayers in your own life to make things right with the Lord are not enough, you know that your example is of such nature, it's going to bring no good word about the church here. It's going to bring nothing for good to hear. Then it's time to stop and to say, pray to you to the Lord with me and for me, because I don't want to continue that way of life. What a blessing it is to be with you today and to be a person of growth in the Lord as he has told us to grow. Our closing topic for this year, and we'll go on to other things next year, but that topic is an important one, and it matches up with everything we've preached about since August in the sense of these topics. We're to be people who serve the cause of God. Let's stand together as we sing this good hymn today.
Come to Jesus, come to Jesus.